coming up.
Sprinkle, sprinkle, right?
You definitely put a bit of camp in there.
I think that's my inner self, maybe.
That's certainly something that speaks to me as a voice actor, that, you know, we have to do that quite a lot, don't we?
Oh, that was so beautiful.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it, anyway.
It felt really personal.
It's exactly the fun that we're meant to have with it, actually.
How do you see that?
I feel like I've just been screwed, and not in a good way.
The more you can keep your own speech patterns, the more connected you'll feel to the text.
I don't think I'm going to get this right, but I'll give it a go.
Am I allowed to swear in general conversation?
I absolutely bloody love it.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice.
With a bit of a gravelly throat, I'm afraid. And that's Sam Boffin. Hello.
Hey, hello. So this podcast is the weekly performance podcast for voice actors, giving us and you the chance to play around with real scripts, make choices, and discover just how different our voices really are.
Oh yes, those choices, because there isn't just one way to read a script, there are lots of different ways. So Sam, true or false, I love the taste of coriander.
Ah, this is an interesting one. It depends if you've got the gene or something, they say, isn't it? I think you do.
No, like, I can't bear it. It tastes soapy to me and horrid. And no, I'm one of the ones with the gene.
You're one of the ones with the gene.
I'm afraid. Yep.
Okay, so Mark, I am a big fan of murder mysteries, as we know, but I cannot stand Murder, She Wrote. I will not watch it. Is that true or is that false?
I love a bit of Jessica Fletcher. I love a bit of Angela Lansbury. I think you might hate it. I don't think you do watch it.
I absolutely bloody love it.
Oh, I'm pleased about that.
I love it. In fact, I went to a Solve Along, a Murder, She Wrote evening.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I'll go into it another time.
I want the details.
Enjoyable time. It was very good.
Excellent. Well, of course, we also have a very special guest, voice actor Bo Thomas. Hello, Bo.
Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. It's a genuine pleasure to be here. I've been keeping up with your little TikTok reels and I've had a lovely listen to your podcast.
See, I told you people watch them, Sam. I told you.
Well, Bo watches them.
Let's find out a little bit more about Bo, shall we?
Absolutely. So Bo has been doing voiceover since 2019. He has booked roles in some great video games, including Killer Inn and Path of Exile 2, as well as doing corporate videos, commercials, and his workhorse, which is audiobooks. So what makes Bo stand out as a voiceover is his accent work. And he'll basically have a go at any accent with enough prep time.
Wow.
And he prides himself in being able to access relatability and genuine connection to text in any accent that he works in, rather than just engaging in stereotypes.
Gosh. Well, Bo was listed by 50 Pros as a top 50 independent voice talent. Plus, he's a top talent on voices.com. But the work he's proudest of is a collaboration with National Star and West Midlands Ambulance to help give a chap with cerebral palsy a voice box that captured his Birmingham accent in time for his wedding day. Lovely.
That's so lovely.
Welcome to the podcast, Bo. Have you got a fun fact for us?
Yeah, well, my fun fact, you know, I'm interested in accents, as you guys have just said, but I wanted to tell you that I can speak the language Amharic. I'm pretty fluent, not totally fluent, in Amharic, which is the language of Ethiopia.
Wow. And so how did that come about?
I just had to learn bits of it for a job a few years ago now, little bits. And I just got interested in it. And I found that there was a lot of kind of links to things that I already understood or little bits of languages that I could relate to. And through that, I managed to, you know, develop my skills with a bit of practice and a lot of reading. I don't know how my speech is, but I can read it pretty well.
So with accent and language work, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so I have brought along a little script from an audio drama, and it is, it's a guide who's showing people around a studio, an old studio that's been shut up for some time.
Okay.
And so throughout the drama, I keep popping up to guide you into the next, to take people into the next place.
Right, so you're guiding the characters in the audio drama into this place.
Yes, I mean, I'm a character. I get involved in it as well. But yes, I'm sort of showing people around.
Okay, what can you tell us about this guide?
The brief that I was given is that I'm kind of sassy but British, curious, confident, quite upbeat. That was it, really.
I'm interested in what you think her relationship is to the people that she's showing around, right? I'm always interested in these relationships.
Okay. So at this point, this is right at the beginning. So she doesn't know anyone at the moment. So she is in full professional mode in that she's done this tour a million times before. She takes groups of people around. And at this stage, she doesn't know any of them.
Okay. Oh, it's quite an exciting one to do. All right. I'm going to give it a try first. I've got an idea. I don't know whether it's going to come off with my voice being like this, but I'm going to give it a try. Okay. All right. It's like, okay, in you come. Don't be shy. Oh, mind the step, love. This is stage one. There we are. This was built in 1934. Proper golden age glamour. A bit dusty now, but honestly, aren't we all? This is where they made At the Villa Rose and Rookery Nook. See that mark on the floor? Stand there. It's the centre mark. Now, imagine the lights, the cameras, the heat. Oh, gorgeous. Right, follow me. Stick close. If you wander off, you'll end up in a prop cupboard married to a mannequin. It's happened.
Well, nice. What did you think, Beau?
Yeah, loved it. I thought, you know, I love to see the practiced wit of someone that's done this spiel so many times. I think that's such like a great thing to witness, someone that is going over the words and trying to find new ways to themselves to making it interesting. That's certainly something that speaks to me as a voice actor, that, you know, we have to do that quite a lot, don't we? So, you know, this spiel coming through with all of this excitement, I really liked, and I thought you carried that really well.
I tried to put a bit of camp in there because I figured, obviously not being a girl, I figured adding a bit of camp in there was probably a good idea.
But what I also liked, I felt, and it might be the fact that your voice is croaky anyway today, but there was an aged up feel to it, you know.
Because, yes, fair, okay.
And that's good. No, that's a plus, because she has that joke, you know, a bit dusty now, but honestly, aren't we all? You know, so she's, you know, so it worked really well, actually, in that sense. You were quite giggly.
Yes.
Which I liked. Yeah, lovely. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I thought it was quite nice. It's a lovely piece of script, that. And I just thought the slight camp touch of it was probably correct, because it was in the world of glamour and that kind of thing. I felt quite at home with them.
Did you? Surprise, surprise.
Sorry, exactly, totally that. I think that's my inner self, maybe.
Yes, you really wanted to be a camp studio guy, didn't you?
Well, absolutely. There's still time, Sam. There's still time.
There's always time. Always time, Mark.
Exactly, exactly. Right, Bo, time for you to have a go, I think.
All right. Okay, in you come. Don't be shy. Oh, mind the step, love. This is stage one. Ah, there we are. This was built in 1934. Proper golden age glamour. Bit dusty now, but honestly, aren't we all? This is where they made At the Villa Rose and Rookery Nook. See that mark on the floor? Stand there. It's the centre mark. Now, imagine the lights, the cameras, the heat. Gorgeous. Right, follow me. Stick close. If you wander off, you'll end up in a prop cupboard married to a mannequin. It happened.
I love that. I love the choice of the accent as well. I love the campness of that. That was
great. Oh my God.
But I tell you what I really noticed, Sarah, what I really loved about it, in that you went off into this ethereal state for, now imagine the lights, the cameras, as if that had been your career and it was gone.
Absolutely.
And I thought, oh, that was so beautiful.
Actually, very pertinent. You won't know what happens in the end, but that's very,
is that the truth
of
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to capture this element of, you know, who works in a studio. There's often people that have another association to the arts or some kind of desire to be there. And I think to me, you know, some part of me felt that there was a lost love of the artistry of being there. So, well, I'm glad you liked it.
And it is a comedic piece, actually, the whole thing. So it's got this sort of quite big feel. Every character is a new character kind of thing. So it worked really well. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm interested to see what you do with it, because as you say, it's comedic.
It's a sort of fun ride, I suppose, is it? Okay. Okay, now in you come. Don't be shy. Oh, mind the step, love. Yeah, this is stage one. Now, there we are. This was built in 1934. Oh, proper golden age glamour. It was a bit dusty now, but honestly, well, aren't we all? Now, this is where they made at the Villa Rose and Rookery Nook. See that mark on the floor? Okay, stand there. Yes, go on. It's the centre mark, yes. Now, imagine the lights, the cameras, the heat. Gorgeous. Right, now, follow me and stick close. If you wander off, you'll end up in a prop cupboard married to a mannequin. It's happened.
You added a little bit of ad-libbing within there, but I think it absolutely made it, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It felt really personal.
Yes, it
I thought.
Did.
It felt like you were really talking to a group of individual yes. people, like real people. Yeah. And I think that's such a powerful thing to be able to capture in audio drama, because it's often pushed to the wayside a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this one was helped in that we did do it with a lot of other people. So we did do it with the we were all in the same room
with
together
cast,
kind of thing.
Lovely.
And it did make a difference because they were kind of, you know, interjecting and things. So it was quite fun. But yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it anyway.
What I loved about the beginning, when you went, this is stage one, that felt like this guide was really practiced and you knew the look on those people's faces as soon as the lights came on.
Yes.
And that really came across. That was beautiful.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun little drama to do.
Well, remember, these are real scripts that we're working on. We have changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. You can find both the scripts we're using today in the show notes of this episode, wherever you're listening. It could be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Podbean, or YouTube, wherever it is.
Exciting.
Yes.
Play How Do You Say That?
So, Bo, you've brought along a really interesting script insofar as it's got a lot of detail in it.
Yeah.
So this is a script for a watch company, and it's one of those scripts that you come across relatively often in ad reads. It's that sort of luxury, slower read.
Yes.
This one is all about time. Again, as so many ads these days seem to be, at least the ones that come across my desk, time seems to be a big thing. So this is about time. And what has set this apart is that each line is broken down with a specific kind of direction. Each fragment of a sentence is broken down within the script that I was sent.
Yes, and it's interesting because, like, so for instance, line one is calm, elegant tone, relaxed pace, then slightly more upbeat tone, back to that calm elegance, then back to slight upbeat tone. So they're being very prescriptive with this, aren't they?
Yeah, and I find often, perhaps this will get me, this will lose me some jobs in the future. I find often I will do a couple of takes trying to match that as closely as possible, but then I'll just do some reading it how feels natural, in the best way that feels natural to me. And often when I listen back to the finished project, it ends up being the more natural flow through ones that
I agree because 100%. I've had that as well. Yes.
I find if you try to think in the back of your mind about the words you're saying, the intention, the sort of characterization that you're bringing to it, and then you're also trying to follow a direct line-by-line direction, it would be the same, I feel, as having a director in your ear speaking as you speak and you know, being an in-ear to you as you're delivering the lines. I don't think you can access the connection to the text in the same way if you're thinking about how you're saying each individual line, if that makes
interesting.
Sense.
Interesting. Yeah.
The other thing about this script that made it interesting is that I was asked to do it like a reverent sort of cowboy. That was their direction.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
That's
an American,
cool.
It was for an American TV campaign. Oof. And they wanted it done as like a Sam Elliott style, deep campfire sort of cowboy. And I thought I'd treat you guys to a bit of accent, that being my sort of
I
niche.
Feel like I've just been screwed and not in a good way.
Well, I'm not gonna insist on cowboy, you know, but I think it's something that that perhaps we can have in the back of our minds, certainly.
Wow.
in the delivery.
Could it be a cowgirl as well?
It could be a cowgirl, exactly. Wow, yeah. I think there could be any sort of cow people, any amount of cow people from anywhere in the country.
I love a cow person.
Oh, do you know what? There's a gag there, Sam. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
I'm not going to go anywhere near it.
So I am nervous about doing. Yeah. I'm nervous about doing an American on this, particularly weirdly, Bo, because you are an accent specialist, and that terrifies me. So I think I'll crack open my best American cowgirl, and you'll go, yes, love. Okay.
Before you do, Sam, is there a top tip to get into that, Bo, that you can kind of give up for us?
Yeah, well, what I tend to think with accents is that less is often more. The more you can keep your own speech patterns, the more connected you'll feel to the text. So if you sort of relax, and instead of thinking I'm going to be a camera, if you sort of relax and let the accent just colour the words a little bit, then it often is more effective than coming in and talking like that on top of everything, you know, than trying to put an accent on top of the existing performance.
Well, yes, okay. That's a good tip. Shall I try that? And then if it all fails, I can...
You can blame
there's
both.
Always next week, isn't there?
There's always next week. Yeah, there's always next week.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to get this right, but I'll give it a go. Okay. Time. It is the essence of mastery. Through every thoughtful approach, a lesson is instilled. In every move, a calculated risk. Progress isn't given, it's earned. Through patience, through precision, through time. That is how you become a master of time.
Yeah, wonderful. Really wonderful.
I thought
it's really hard, right? When you're given a character like cowboy, or for example, pirate, or you know, something that is this has this very strong associations with a more perhaps a more cartoonish performance. It's very, very hard to then bring that into anything resembling sort of clear, sultry, sort of nice speech. It's very difficult, and certainly the most difficult thing is bringing it into your own timbre and your own tone and your own manner of expression. And when I work with people as an accent coach, that's really what I'm trying to drill down into, is to get people to talk like themselves, to say it how they would say it, just with some little sprinklings of an accent. And I think that is what you did really effectively.
Oh, good. Well, I think if I did it again, and this is a one-take show, so I'm not gonna, but if I was to do it again, I think what I didn't bring to it was the level of confidence that I would normally bring to my own read. So if I'd done that in my own accent, I would have been, because that is literally the first time I've read those words out loud, and certainly with that accent. So it's a little hesitant and possibly a little soft. So I would, you know, I'd give it another go with a little bit more bite, perhaps, but or confidence, really.
That's interesting, because I think one of the directorial notes I got when I got this script was that there's a sort of all-knowingness, because I think when you're talking about time, there's this element of all-knowingness. And so it's interesting that you've identified, without having that direction, that that's a facet of the script, maybe, and that you feel that wasn't something you got. But I thought you did do a very good job, particularly for sight reading it for the first time in an accent. Like, it's a very difficult thing to do, and I didn't mean to screw you too hard with the cowboy.
It's exactly the fun that we're meant to have with it, actually.
Absolutely.
That's a fun thing. It's a fun thing. And now it's Mark's turn.
Yes, now it's my turn.
Always a joy.
Okay. Cowboy's still throwing me. Slight America. Yeah, I'm gonna try and take on board what you said.
I was going to say Bo's direction into it really helped, I thought.
It's good, okay, right. I'll give it a try. Time. It is the essence of mastery. Through every thoughtful approach, a lesson is instilled. In every move, a calculated risk. Progress isn't given. It's earned. Through patience. Through precision. Through time. That is how you become a master of time.
Yeah, great. Really good. Very different from the approach that Samantha took, I think.
Yeah.
Which is in that you were quite much more dynamic with your pitch, I would say. There was a lot more rise and fall.
Yeah.
It was more, maybe a slightly more cowboyish and slightly less campfire, if you know what I mean. Like, one end, you've got the campfire.
Can I tell you which cowboy I had in mind?
God, you had a specific cowboy in mind.
No. Wait till you hear it.
Only you.
I had Bobby Ewing on a horse from Dallas.
Yeah, from Dallas.
That sound like him. But that's, yeah, it was just a fantasy, exactly.
A fantasy. I had Bobby Ewing on a horse.
I deliberately aimed at a lower register because that's where my voice is today anyway. And I think actually that lent reasonably well to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's lots to play with in that lower register. People often assume that there's just kind of one, you know, one thing you can do when you learn. I'm someone that has a much lower register naturally. And I've found over my many years of assuming that I just have to do everything with one pitch that actually I can use my whole pitch range. In there's as many notes down there as there is up at the top, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's nice to hear. Yeah.
Okay, Bo, I want to hear what you did with it, please.
All right. Time. It is the essence of mastery. Through every thoughtful approach, a lesson is instilled. In every move, a calculated risk. Progress isn't given. It's earned. Through patience. Through precision. Through time. That is how you become a master of time.
Wow. A much older cowboy.
Yes.
And I pictured sitting by the campfire and everyone around him hanging on his every word because you're not pushing it out to them, they are coming in to you.
That's something that I really had to learn, to allow people to come to me rather than to center them. I was always a very theatrical person, still am, but my audience is 6 inches in front of my mouth for all intents and purposes. And I have a very, very loud speaking voice normally. So I have a real big learning curve as I have spent the last sort of 7 years doing voiceover has been, how can I pull back? How can I make people lean in?
Interesting.
Yes. But do you not also find, because I have the same problem. I'm you know, renowned for having a stage voice that can reach the back of almost any theatre. And I have to really pull that in when I'm on mic. And I have actually found that quite difficult to do with big characters. I find it really difficult to bring the bigness and not blast the...
Yeah, on a technical level, absolutely. Yeah. I gain all the way down, stood at the other side of the room often. I mean, it can be a real challenge, particularly, I mean, I have learned to make big use of physical distance because I was terrible for blowing out the mic for the first sort of 5 years of doing this job, anytime I had to raise my voice.
Sam will attest to this. I rarely move more than 4 inches away from my pop shield.
He's quite incredible.
However big the character is.
Extraordinary. Yes. I find it almost, it's like your superpower. You can...
I hadn't realised that until other people started going, oh no, we don't do it that way.
Yeah.
I noticed, Mark, watching one of the TikTok clips of you on doing an audiobook script and you changed the perceived volume of a character speaking, right? They weren't shouting, but they were talking much louder. They were maybe calling to someone. But the actual volume coming out of your mouth didn't change. And I was so thoroughly impressed with how you can manipulate that. I mean, that is a real superpower and not something that I am able to do.
I don't think anybody's ever taught me that. I think that's just kind of evolved.
It's decades on the mic, mate. That is what it is.
Well, it is decades on the mic. Yeah, literally. Literally decades. Well, fascinating discussion, but now it's time for the wild card. Two scripts where we have explored quite a lot of stuff, but what on earth do we do with it to make it so different?
Absolutely. So, Bo, choose a script and give one of us a new idea to bring to it.
So why don't we how about you give me the second script, the script that I brought, but as if it was a charity PSA for quite a sad charity, you know, something about maybe, you know, people needing help with something, quite a serious charity.
Oof. Right. So which one of us?
Ooh, well, let's have Samantha, please.
Okay. Right, let me have a little look. So, charity. okay, I want them to do something at the end of this, don't they? I want them to pay money. Okay. Okay. Time. It is the essence of mastery. Through every thoughtful approach, a lesson is instilled in every move. A calculated risk. Progress isn't given. It's earned. Through patience. Through precision. Through time. That is how you become a master of time.
I thought that worked really nicely. And I tell you what I imagined, because I was trying to work out which charity it might be. I saw someone feeding donkeys through patience and precision. I thought it might be a donkey sanctuary.
I'm giving my money to that donkey sanctuary, Sam. I'm giving. Whatever you need. That was very good.
Yeah, I don't know if you agree with me, Bo, but the very first word, time, she had set where exactly we were, what style this was, right from the first word. And I thought that was very clever.
It was quite difficult because usually they go somewhere, don't they, in the script. You know, you have a you're working towards the so please give now. But so it's actually quite difficult because I actually ran out of time, ironically, because I realised, oh, I've only got one more line. I've got to bring it in on that last line. So, it was interesting.
You brought, I think, with that read, more of yourself, right? More of your own, Sam into the voice. With a charity read, I hate it when I feel like I can't hear the person that's saying it and that they're just trying to be neutral. I love to hear that it's a real person telling me something because I respect what real people have to. I'm willing to listen to real people more than I am like a corporation, if that makes sense.
So, Bo, I've got one for you.
Please.
We're going to go as far away from Cowboy as you can possibly imagine. So,
and are you doing the second script?
Do the second script, yes. Okay. Time is the essence of mastery. I would like you to be a Cockney Barra boy selling knockoff watches.
All right. All right.
Knockoff watches. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay.
I am having to back off from the mic because the Cockney is a lot louder.
That's so exciting.
It's a lot louder than the cowboy.
It is exciting.
Time! It is the essence of mastery. Through every thoughtful approach, a lesson is instilled. In every move, a calculated risk. Progress isn't given, it's earned. Through patience, through precision, through time. Now that is how you become a master of time.
Now that. So good. Oh,
that is
the
very clever.
Ways.
Absolutely.
The different ways this script can be done. It's extraordinary. Yeah.
You could just see all the watches up his arm, couldn't you?
Yeah. Really lovely.
And again, a masterclass in how to change an accent beautifully.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, have you got one for me? Is it a stinker?
It's not. It's a lovely one.
Oh, okay.
Right. I would like you to obviously do script one because we haven't done that one yet. And I would like you to do it as a warrior or a who's afraid of spiders.
Oh, a warrior. All right.
Well, a warrior or somebody grand, a soldier.
You already know what's in my brain, don't you? It's like,
do I though? Do I want to know?
It's like, possibly not. Right. Okay. Okay, and you come. Don't be shy. Mind the step, love. This is stage one. Ah, there we are. Now, this was built in 1934. Proper golden age glamour. Bit, take it away. Oh, all eight legs. This is where they made, at the Villa Rose and Rookery Nook. See that mark on the floor? Stand there. It's a centre mark. Now, imagine the lights, the heat, the cameras, the cobwebs. Right, follow me. Stick close. If you wander off, I'll get you in a prop cupboard, married off to a mannequin as soon as you look at it. It's happened, you know.
Mark Rise, you got totally, totally obsessed with being the warrior that you completely forgot about the spiders. You just kind of pop the spiders in occasionally.
Pop the spider in occasionally, yeah.
You were just loving the warrior, basically.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think you could have done a full improvised audio drama yourself there, Mark. I think you were bringing so much.
I was a little bit worried that in the first line I'd turned into Brian Blessed by mistake. Yeah.
By mistake,
he says in inverted commas.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do Brian Blessed. Nobody's ever asked me to do it before.
Well, as always, we have put those wonderful scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself. If you want to see behind the scenes of How Do You Say That, then we're all over TikTok and Instagram and everywhere else.
We are Facebook, YouTube, wherever you want to find us. So, Bo, we've talked a bit about accents today, but tell us a bit more. So have you always been a natural, or is it more about hard work, or what is it, this accent fang?
Well, let me tell you, I really thought that I was a natural for a long time. I thought, until I was probably about 22, 23, I thought I was just the best guy at accents that had ever existed and that I could do them all. And then I had the rare joy. I went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School and I did the Masters in Voice that they offer there, which is a fantastic course. You learn about, you know, voice for stage and how to keep your voice healthy and all of these good things. And then one of the modules is on accents. And I found out how you can break them down and analyze them on a sort of technical level and how you can listen. And I realized that almost every accent I thought I could do was wrong and was actually bordering on offensive. And that if I had done the accents to people from there, they were entirely rooted in stereotype, often stereotype from sort of 70s TV comedies, than anything sort of modern. Because so much of what you're exposed to in accent work as a performer is doing impressions of other people doing accents.
That's
so
true.
So I learned then that I was terrible and I had to start from scratch. And then, thankfully, due to that, I got all the tools I needed to learn accents. And I built myself back up to feeling like I can do a really solid amount now.
So how did you do that? How did you unpick the bad habits and reinstall the good ones, if you see what I mean? What did you do? Was it a lot of listening? I mean,
what's the stripping back process?
I think the listening is always the most important thing. You can't do any accent unless you've heard a real person that has that accent do it. At least one, you know. Sometimes you can just focus on one person and try and copy them. I try to listen to as many people as possible. I think a real big thing for me, right, is that what I mentioned when we were doing the reads earlier, if you can't say something in your own natural pitch with something close to your own natural cadence, then you can't really do the accent very well. So it's all well and good me doing a Scottish accent that goes like, okay, laddie, I can do this. That's something, right? That's something.
Yes.
But I can't realistically pretend to be a Scottish person if I'm talking like that. Whereas if I can talk in my own voice and a Scottish accent and I don't have to change my pitch very much and I can just change the things that need to be changed rather than trying to change everything about the way that I talk, you know, I think less is more. My teacher always used to say sprinkle, sprinkle, right? It's about changing only the things that need to be changed. And even then erring on the side of not changing things if they might not need to be changed. So trying to keep as close to the way that you speak as possible. Because here's something interesting that I always think about. There's kind of no such thing as a wrong accent. You can be someone that is Scottish but went to university in Birmingham and therefore has some of the Birmingham sounds that I have in my voice. There are all sorts of mixed, melded things. So kind of taking yourself off the hook a bit about getting all of the sounds perfect and focusing more on expressing yourself as naturally as possible as you can with the key sounds, the key things that you've heard in other people's speech, I find a lot more helpful than trying to just totally change your voice or reinvent your voice.
And did those gleaned by really focusing on the accents and actually just picking them apart, as it were? Or do you go to useful places? Are YouTube videos useful? That sort of thing. Where do you go to pull that accent apart?
Well, so often I just listen to YouTube videos, but I must do a tiny little self-plug. I work for a company called Accentify that has a little app that's sort of like Duolingo for accents. Oh. And we're slowly trying to build more and more courses, which is sort of like we break down individual sounds and you repeat them and you can hear it. So you can get that technical information. Because of the learning I did on my master's about things like the International Phonetic Alphabet and stuff like that, there's often a Wikipedia page for an accent that has all of the research that's ever been done about that accent.
Interesting.
You can go to the sources.
Really?
And they have all of the vowel sounds, the phonology, all of the consonants. Basically have all of the black and white facts about it. And then I can listen then to someone from that place, check it matches up, and then I can go, right, well, here's what I need to change. I'm lucky in that sense that I have a relatively, I don't like to use the word neutral, but something that doesn't have strong regional signifiers. So there are less, basically everything that's mentioned on the Wikipedia page as being noteworthy is something that I have to change because it's something that's different from my more standard or neutral way of talking. But yeah, so that's often how I approach it these days, but certainly listening, YouTube videos, and then the wonderful website called the International Dialect of English Archive.
That's an amazing, you're right, that's an amazing
resource,
isn't it?
It's great, right? And there's people from all over the world, literally every country, every town in England have recorded just normal people speaking, and it's great. Mm. It's a really good resource.
Mm. I loved what you said a minute ago about sprinkle, sprinkle. I fully understand what you're saying. Anyway, Bo, that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been fascinating. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've had a really lovely time. Thank you so much for having
me. Such fun.
All of Bo Thomas's details can be found in the show notes, Sam.
Yes, and of course the scripts are there too. And do check out the podcast by searching at HDYST Podcast on TikTok and Instagram if you want to see what we look like in our booths.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Bo Thomas. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, I wonder how Bo's going to do this bit. We'll be asking,
how do you say that?
How do you say that?